This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be that in an
hour. All right, indeed. Glad to have you along for the ride with us today. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope continues to enjoy a week off. Hopefully not dragging his children around in an RV to watch curling. Nate Geary is here to fill in for Mike again today. And, of course, Zach Jones is here. We'll talk with Trevor Sikkema about the NFL draft. Looking forward to that at 4 o'clock. And otherwise spend a lot of time, I think, poring over Bills moves that could, should, wishful thinking moves, whatever it is. We'll pore over some of that. There is some news pertaining to that we'll get to in a second here. Four Nations Faceoff, we're one day closer to that. Quinn Hughes is still in Vancouver, as far as I know, which is, I don't think, great news. But, you know, I get why he doesn't want to come. I'm not sure why the U.S. hasn't been able to find a way to make somebody seem like they're sick so he could come and play. But, you know, nonetheless, not my choice. Those guys were chosen for a reason. So, you know, it might be a lot to ask for somebody to pretend they're ill so they don't get to play against Canada. That doesn't seem like a fair thing to do to, like, Jake Sanderson. That's the guy that took McAvoy's spot. He's a good player.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's a real good player. He's not Quinn Hughes. But he's a real, you know, real nice player. But nonetheless, the U.S. has gotten where they've gotten without Quinn Hughes. So, you know, they lose McAvoy, they gain Sanderson. You know, it's not an equal swap, but as we'll have to live with it. I don't know, man, like how much – I don't want to spend a lot of time here with you on it. Tomorrow, I think, will be a day to really talk about this game, but you're not here tomorrow. This is the biggest hockey game for you since when? Since the Sabres were in the playoffs? Like, or is that overstating it? Like, do you consider a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals a big hockey game for you?
Nah, not for me. I especially over the last, I don't know, I guess we'll call it decade – NHL playoffs have become like I'm out at the bar, I'll catch some of the game after a round of, you know, 18 holes going up to, like, it's not appointment television for me any longer. It just, and it's not because I don't like watching hockey. It's because watching the level, the skill, the entertainment value. I found myself feeling this exact same way when I started watching some of these Four Nations games. it, to me, reveals the depth or the existence of how wide the gap is of where the Sabres are and where everyone else is. And I think that's what's made it really difficult for me, wanting to watch the Stanley Cup, wanting to watch all these teams who the Sabres play elevate themselves, their game, the physicality. It's the playoffs are a very different game holistically. It's just a it's a different product in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And watching that product after having watched the Sabres product is a very difficult, disturbing, depressing, just it's really hard to feel like I'm gonna saddle up and watch, you know, 2.5 hours of this. I can't get myself to do it. And yeah, it's Sabres' fault.
Yeah.
It's really where what it comes down to. So, you know, I found myself doing, and now that I'm a New York Knicks fan, and I have always had a love for NBA basketball, now that the Knicks are relevant, it makes it very easy for me to just watch the NBA playoffs instead, because I'll watch the Knicks and have a rooting interest. It's just, I don't, I'm the kind of sports fan that I have a very tough time going, well, my team's out of it. Who am I going to rally behind and root for? It's just like these colors don't bleed. You know, like I can't easily just say, oh, I really like the Avs. I'm going to be an Avs fan. And then that's going to get me to watch these games. It's just, so yes.
Yeah.
Bring it around.
Right.
Yeah, I would say it's the biggest game since the Olympics when it mattered. And Miller was there, and there was, like,
right.
That's probably it. Seriously. How long ago was that?
That's 2010.
I was a senior in high school. So, thanks.
And the Sabres were only in the playoffs the year after that.
Yeah.
That's the last time. So, I mean, it goes. So, game seven against the Flyers the spring after that, after those Olympics, is the last playoff game the Sabres have played. So, yeah, it does. I don't want to bring everybody down. And again, I may get more into this tomorrow. I'll be flying solo, a couple of guests booked for Thursday and Friday. But I think it does. Anytime your hockey curiosity, whether it's something trips a wire for you, you think like, man, that's a really big hockey game. I can't wait to watch that hockey game. I think for many fans here in Buffalo, it sort of circles you back to, it's hard to not get depressed about the state of things here, because like I don't know how to forecast it changing, you know, like I usually, as these years are unfolding, can sort of, you know, well, you know, this guy's coming and that guy's coming, and you know, I got things to be excited about, and boy, Devin Levi looks like one of the best goalies in the AHL. Like, there's stuff that you can do and focus on to get you in a more positive headspace about the future. And I just, you know, we've been doing that for more than 10 years. I don't know if we were doing it at the outset of what has become this 14-year playoff drought, but we sure as heck have been doing a lot of it, you know, for many, many years of it. And it just sort of feels out of, you just like, I don't even know how to invent the idea that there's hope. It just seems so far gone. And I think in reality, it's not. But I just feel buried. I cannot see even a sliver of light out there. So
no.
That's tough, because you know this market deserves a team to be proud of. You know, I really believe this is one of the best hockey markets in the United States. I think we care about this sport deeply.
Yes.
We play it. Our kids play it. We take a lot of pride in teaching our kids, you know, how to do it, what we think is, you know, the closest way to the right way or whatever it is. And to have the Sabres be in the state they're in, I mean, it's just really, really tough. I'm watching, in part, this tournament through the eyes of my 23-year-old son, Owen, who played hockey at a very high level, not the highest, but I mean, he had a hell of a ride, took us on a hell of a ride. And he's reacting to this like someone who's never seen it because guess what? He hasn't.
That's why.
You know? He was 6 years old when Miller was competing for a gold medal in 2010. You know, he's a full-grown adult dude now. And watching these games with him is pretty eye-opening, I got to say, because it's just and I don't know how much he is really dug in on USA versus Canada per se. It's more just marveling at the skill and the talent and the intensity of what you're seeing. And you just have not seen a game you're emotionally attached to in your lifetime if you're a kid like him or a man like him now. And like saying, you know, say close for you. There's a whole generation of people. I don't want to get all dramatic about losing a generation, but, man, it's just really, really tough. But anyway, I just wanted to get that just before we dive into football here because we're going to have a mostly football-centric show here. I've been spending some time today, thinking about the Bills and thinking about the offseason. And I have the salary cap page from SpotTrack open on my browser every day, and I've been looking at it. And, you know, I cut this guy, move this guy, restructure that guy, dead cap hits, like all this different stuff. And it's, you know, it's mostly minutiae. It's not stuff that makes for good talk show conversation necessarily. But I came across a tweet from our mutual friends. I think you know more of the people over at Cover One than I do. Mm-hmm. But the one of the Cover One accounts commented on the salary cap page of the Bills and how like the high end of it, there's more guys there that you are disappointed about that you could argue are being overpaid than there are guys that you're going like, oh, good, I'm ready to move forward and keep going with these guys. And that's a pretty tough place to be. You know, we got news today. They are the cap is going up. Do you remember offhand? I should have Googled this before we started talking and put you on the spot to ask. When the cap was announced to be going up last offseason, there was surprise about that. I remember Brandon Bean feeling like, oh, we just got a gift. I don't remember how much it went up when that was announced. And not that this year's increase, which is expected to be somewhere between $22 and $26 million now, you know, has to be incrementally or in any way different than how it was perceived last year. I don't feel like it went up much more than that last year.
I don't think so either. I can't exactly. I think it was something in the 30s.
Okay.
If I'm recalling.
So,
and there had been this idea that it was going to start to kind of taper off because was it 3 years ago that it was like 50 million? Like it's a big jump. The new TV deal's hitting.
Yeah.
Like at the NFL's getting a whole bunch more. I didn't get the sense that, like, as we were going to get closer and further away from that, like, it was just going to kind of taper and maybe it goes up 10 here, another 20 here. I think I saw Greg Thompson say it went to, like, 281 and change, and, like, he was kind of hopeful for 283, but that 281 is still a nice jump.
Right. So with that in mind, like, the Bills, and so there's extra money, but guess what? And I don't know, maybe this is a surprise to some people. They're still over the cap, even with the new money added in, right? If it's going up $22 million, the Bills still have work to do to get under the cap, which is, you know, not uncommon for a contending team. Certainly it's not an ideal place to be as you're going, you know, setting out to try to plug holes in your roster and find ways to make yourself even better than you've been. I mean, it's hard to improve on getting to the AFC title game, but we know what needs to be done, I think. I think we know at least what we'd like to see done. You know, additions to the defense make this thing harder for Patrick Mahomes to function against you. I just wonder, with the cap going up as much as it is, but the Bills still having all this work to do, just how realistic it's going to be for them to really find difference-making players. Like the way some fans, and even the way we talk in here, I think it's like, okay, I need an edge guy. I need a difference-making edge guy. I need a guy in the middle of my defensive line to pretty much maybe replace Daquan Jones, help Ed Oliver out. I need a corner and maybe a safety. And that's a lot. Like, that's a cart full of stuff. And I'm not even talking about the offensive side of the ball. So, like, it can cut both ways. Like, I wonder, you know, free agency is one area, and I would expect the Bills to do a lot of kind of what they've done in the last few years, which is find journeyman defensive tackle, defensive lineman types, maybe hybrid types like DeJuan Smoot to come in on relatively inexpensive contracts and hopefully contribute significantly. But that's not a difference-making player.
Right.
I've got the draft, and if you know the Bills hold on to all of their picks, okay, they've got a healthy allotment. They've got 2 second rounders. They don't have a third, but still, 3 picks in the first 2 rounds is a nice place to be. But are you getting one of those spots I just mentioned on defense filled capably? Are you hoping to fill more than one? I just don't know how realistic that is for the Bills. You know, teams do it. Philadelphia had starting players in the secondary, not all year. DeJean took a little while to ramp up, but by midseason, like, he was a starting nickel for them and made a difference. Mitchell, same thing on the back end. So, like, it can be done. But I think we can sort of, I can feel the fan base. I can feel even myself sort of falling into this, well, I just got to do what the Eagles did.
Yeah.
But, like,
it's a much easier said than done.
That took years, And there were some risks involved, too, right? I mean,
they took
some players. Jordan Davis, specifically, that's a guy I might guess. I'm just guessing the Bills would have not touched with a 10-foot pole because of character issues.
They are also, I think I saw something that in terms of teams with the most deferred money and void years on contract is the Philadelphia Eagles. So, not the New Orleans Saints, by the way. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. The only difference is the players that they have deferred money on are all young and performing. And it's the opposite in New Orleans. They're old and not, and they're shot. So they're picking their window. What's the saying? The roosters are gonna the I don't know, I think it's from The Water Boy. Maybe the mama says something like, you know, the roosters are coming to crow, but whatever. Regardless, eventually.
Sorry to be of no help to you there.
Yeah, you right over.
Just blank stare.
There will be a time when AJ Brown and all these great young players that they have that have a bunch of deferred money, where they're not going to be able to continue making that roster better. The Bills have been kind of in the middle on it. They haven't been super aggressive. They haven't deferred a ton of money down the road. I guess I look at this year, and I do wonder what the line is for Brandon Bean to get to a place that says, we're all in. Because they haven't done that yet. They have not gone all in. The closest we've gotten is them signing Von Miller.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one move. I don't know that I view a one move to a great roster already as an all-in proposition. The all-in is, here is all of my chips to the center of the table. If we don't make it, it might really come back to haunt us.
There's all in where you're financially committing big money to an older player. Miller is 36 years old now, so 33 when you sign him. And that is those are significant financial resources, but it has nothing to do with continuing to replenish your roster in the draft. Whereas this offseason, I know a way to find at least one difference maker and not taking a chance on a draft pick panning out, and that's to make a trade involving a few of my high-end assets. That kind of all-in, that is your you-know-what hanging out the bus window.
Because that is...
Not only better this player that we're getting work out and stay healthy and impact us, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, whomever, right? That guy better smash. He better stay on the field.
Yeah.
And because it's gonna cost us $30+ million a year on average to have this guy on our team. He better smash and stay on the field, and we better win because we are sacrificing 1, 2, 3, depending on who we're talking about, pretty premium assets that could replenish your roster in the long term. I don't know how realistic it is to have them have immediate impact, and that's the dilemma I think we're going to find ourselves in. And there, I think, are arguments to be made on both sides. The risk is inherent on either end. Draft picks, okay, well, Kyrie Elam was a first-round pick. He can't even get a uniform. Cole Bishop couldn't displace Damar Hamlin or Taylor Rapp this year. My hopes are still high for him, but That was not a great start to his career that he couldn't get on the field in place of Hamlin here. So, those are high picks that have not hit yet. And so if I rely on that, I might miss, I might take time. But if I go the other route and I don't have the cheap, quote-unquote, cheap labor of draft picks impacting my roster, and I've gone all in for a trade, man, that guy better work out or I'm in real big trouble.
So, by the way, they would, according to this, like to be referred to as a Bulldogs bullpen, which is the people in the chat.
What is, oh, I see.
In YouTube. Yeah. It was the.
I'm not sure we're sanctioning that name yet. But,
oh, I mean, okay. That was an official workshop.
I guess
I did just workshop.
I mean, it's their thing. I guess they can really do whatever they want.
Right. You don't necessarily.
I don't get to say. Yeah. That's probably right.
But
I will step aside. I didn't mean for my ego to get in the way. Go ahead, please.
They did. I should have known, and they immediately would figure out what the saying was. But it was the chickens are coming home to roost.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that.
I started with rooster. That was my fault.
Yeah,
I threw you off.
Yes, you did.
It's not a good co-host partner there. Butchering the saying and then expecting you to be able to fix it and then say it properly.
Attaching it to a movie I've never seen.
Yeah, which is
tough.
A totally other thing that you have not, seen the Waterboy. Anyways, I guess this could just be a question for people. Is what's your definition of all in? Because what I believe right now, if the Bills completed a trade that wouldn't be ready until the start of the league year, but they agree to terms today, it got announced, Adam Schefter, the Bills and the Browns agree to a deal. The Bills are trading this year's first, a second, next year's first, and something else to the Browns to get Myles Garrett. Would you view that as all in?
I think I would.
I think so too, but I'm not totally convinced that one player, it's the same thought process I had with Vaughn. It's a move. This is a more dramatic move because of what it will take to land said player. It's not just, hey, we're going to sign to a contract and we're going to outbid the other people. It's, I'm going to send a lot of assets, and I'm also going to sign this player, and this may not allow me to make a lot of other moves. Where I might view, I don't know, I guess it just really depends on what people's definition is of all in. Because I think I might view all in, I think I might view that as a layer, the Garrett trade. Mm-hmm. But I think an all in move is that's the first thing, and then there's corresponding moves next to it. Like, hey, here, let me give you my definition. The Bills make that trade. Let's just say whatever the assets required, it's a lot. And the Bills extend him and push all of that money out. And it's basically a 7-year deal. There's 4 void years, no real cap implications this year, next year, or the following. And then they go out in free agency and then go sign another defensive tackle and, a starting safety. They go and get Javon Hot. Like, that to me is all in. We're going to make this big trade, and I'm also going to structure this contract to allow me to continue adding to make this team great right now.
Yeah.
I think if there's a time, it's got to be now. What are you going to wait till Josh is 31, 32?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Two?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I wake up in the morning, my knees hurt. I'm 33. I have not taken the hits that Josh Allen has. Like, the chickens might be coming home to roost soon on Josh Allen.
There it is.
So, like, I just, like, 29, 28, whatever Josh is, if you're going to do something, if you're going to be crazy and take your, you know, Prince Fielder swing at this, where you swing as hard as you can.
Just go. You got to go.
This feels like, what would, why wait till next year? Like, why not do it right now?
Well, folks, what say you? What? How do you define all in, and do you want the Bills to be all in? Look at that. Nate Geary just teed us up for the whole day. Just like that.
Yeah.
It's magic sometimes.
It really, truly is.
How's the chat reacting to your vest choice today, by the way?
You know, I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't want him to, but the chat bullied me out of wearing my normal weekly vest that I wear over my actual outfit. So I swapped the vests out. So, you know.
Don't call what you're wearing an outfit. 803-0550 is the number. I don't know. It's a Jason Isbell song, the outfit. 803-0550 is the number. I digress, as always. What is all in? Do you want the Bills to be whatever your version of all in is? Nate just laid it out for you there. Like, a big trade for a defensive end is, you know, it's in.
It's a start.
Is it all in?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Nate's in for Mike. I am the Bulldog. Trevor Sikkema on the NFL draft in about 40 minutes or so. Lots of time for your calls, so let's fill them up and start picking them up and putting them down here on WGR.
And the thing about Myles Garrett, you can really sort of assess your entire offensive plan to him, stop him, and you still can't do it. If you can get that guy, if you have the cap space to do it, which I know the Bills are sort of in arrears with their cap situation right now, that could take a lot of interesting math. But certainly if you could get Myles Garrett, there's no question about that. That changes your entire defense. He's one of those very few guys who can do that all by himself.
One of our favorites, Doug Farrar, talking about one of the biggest offseason targets, speculation-wise anyways, Myles Garrett of the Cleveland Browns, and what a difference maker he could be for any team, including the Bills. Good to have you with us here. Nate Geary sitting in for Mike Shope today. I am the Bulldog. Lines are open at 803-0550. And just pouring over ideas and trying to define all in. And because I'll tell you, we'll get the calls here in 1 second. I've had, it's very tempting to me to say, you know what? Yes, I'm willing to pay the price. First and a second, whatever it's going to take, like this year's first, next year's first, something else premium, one of the two twos that I've got. Maybe that gets it done for Myles Garrett. If it does, do I stop there? I've said a few times to Mike, if I get Myles Garrett, all right, I Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop are my safeties. I've got my linebackers. I probably rotate some defensive tackles in, but I'm probably done doing anything big. Maybe I'll even resign Rasul Douglas. He'll be better if I've got Myles Garrett up front, right? And just sort of roll the band back, basically, from last year, but with Myles Garrett up front, and feel like, okay, you know what, I'm ready to go play the feud.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's enough. I agree with your assessment of all in. Like, it's one big move, and it is, you know, robbing yourself of future assets for sure. But does that alone, like, does that sound like a defense that can take down the Chiefs? I mean, maybe. They were close to doing it this year without Myles Garrett. So everybody a year older, yada, yada. I don't know. Like, I feel like that should be enough.
But yeah. I guess where I fall on this defense is that there's holes. There's notable holes in this defense. And as much as I think Myles Garrett's an unbelievable player, I don't think he takes the defense that was, you know, middling to below average to the type of level of defense. Because here's the thing. Maybe this just opens things up for Ed Oliver, and Ed Oliver goes back to being the 9.5 sack guy he was 2 years ago. And if that's the case, then there's a ripple effect. It's not just Myles Garrett being great. You've now unlocked a previous version of Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
But even then, even if you have two great players on your defensive line, isn't part of what the Eagles did so well is they just were rotating guys in and out. They're deep. They've got, you know, they, on top of hitting on those draft picks and some of the, they also signed Zach Bond, who was basically a reserve special team player, turned into an all-pro linebacker. Like, everybody talks about having to win a Super Bowl, there's luck involved, right? Got to have a bounce go here, ball's got to go there, turnover, whatever. But they don't talk about, they talk about it in a vacuum in one specific game. They don't talk about it when you're building your roster in the offseason. And the Eagles got lucky in a couple of spots. I mean, them signing Zach Bond in whatever, $1 million,
right,
and he's an all-pro level player. Listen, hats off to Howie Roseman. I don't think he thought when he was signing Zach Bond that he was going to be an all-pro. Otherwise, he would have paid him a lot more money. So, like, the Bills haven't really had that sort of signing where you're like, oh, well, this guy's way better than I thought. Was it DaQuan Jones, his first year? You're like, this guy's pretty good. Yep. Like, I didn't know that that's what they were really getting. Taylor Rapp was okay. He's starting caliber, middle of the road. You know, David Edwards. It's like you just have like guys that are okay. These guys are good. But they haven't really gotten a guy that has changed the dynamics.
Yep. Mike Edwards, the safety. David Edwards is an offensive
lineman. Offensive lineman. But that's what I'm saying. Like, he was a guy they signed in for agency. Right, he's turned into a starter. Sorry. Okay,
Yeah.
You know.
One thing, real quick. The Eagles are the team that plants a lot of these seeds. I guess it should be pointed out, you do not need to beat the Chiefs 44-20. Right? You know, you do not need to ragdoll them all over the field and make Mahomes look like a jackass.
Yeah.
You just need to make a couple of plays. right?
Right.
Like the gap isn't – the gap seems bigger now because we saw the Eagles dismantle the Chiefs. And
right.
you recognize, oh, that can be done. And maybe I should, you know, pump the brakes a little on Josh had the ball with 2 minutes to go because, you know, maybe he shouldn't have to always, you know, bring them from behind in the last 2 minutes against the Chiefs. Like, get a few more stops. I mean, that's – maybe attainable with Myles Garrett added to the defense the Bills put on the field last year, despite everything you said about, oh, I don't disagree with wanting better and maybe needing better, but I don't know. Like, I just need a couple of plays, right? I do not need to shut them down. I mean, that'd be great, but it's almost an impossible bar to reach in one off season, I think.
I agree.
Anyway, so... you know, just a thought. Like it feels like because the gap between what the Eagles did defensively and what the Bills were capable of defensively is so large, represented by, you know, how the games looked, that you can, I think, fall into a trap that is it's a trap, thinking the Bills have so much more ground to make up. When
right.
in reality, it's not
that much. Totally.
And that's where the Garrett idea, despite it not qualifying as
all in, yeah.
is still, that's a meter mover, and maybe that's all I need.
I will say, I think that there should be a tradition. Maybe this goes up on a board somewhere in here. I think that after you've exhausted a conversation about how to build the team and the roster moving forward, that everyone collectively just takes a very long, pronounced sigh, and then says, oh, that Kyrie Elam pick really killed us. I just think that should be tradition.
I know.
A day, everybody just has a collective sigh and agrees that hurts in hindsight. Really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they have a huge hole, and it would be nice for him to be the guy to fill it.
And that just seems
not happen.
Not possible.
It's not happen.
CJ is first up here at 803-0550 on WGR. Thanks for calling, CJ. You're on the air.
Absolutely. And this conversation is phenomenal, but it opens the door for some crazy talk. And I'm probably going to sound crazy. I haven't done the homework or the numbers. But
go crazy, brother. Go crazy.
So I'm thinking if you guys want to say bleep them picks, which I know with the Bills drafting so late, it feels as though it's really essentially a second-round pick every year anyway. And our history doesn't really show that Brandon Bean has done well with them. So why not trade them? So either you trade up in the draft because you have multiple rounds with our draft picks. I think it's the second and the third. We have multiple twos and multiple threes.
We don't have any threes this year. The only three they had went to Cleveland in the Amari Cooper trade, but they have two twos because they got one from Houston, which I think belonged originally to Minnesota. Anyway, they've got two twos from the Stephon Diggs trade.
Right. So, like, with our multiple picks, I don't mind trading either up in the draft to get somebody guaranteed that you know for a fact is, like, I don't – a Travis Hunter for – just throw a name out there. Like, somebody with things that you can't teach. Not to mention, let's double dip. Let's say, okay, Browns, we need a corner and a defensive end. What would you give me for Denzel Ward and what do you want for Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett if you can do that? Or – and a free agency, you have a Khalil Mack, and you have a Crosby that wants to be out. It may be a little cheaper to trade for them and cost more, but I think after June 1st, Von Miller gives us back 17 if you release him. So that's just where my mind is, but I'm saying there's different ways or different avenues to do it, and they all help each other as far as a team. We don't need everything, but the way the Chiefs just got beat, if we get to the Super Bowl, I don't think we beat the Eagles, but I do want to be a team that can beat the Chiefs. We're going into a new stadium. Let's at least beat the Chiefs. I can't go to a new stadium still lose to the Chiefs.
In the playoffs, anyway. They have beaten them four times in a row in the regular season. The Denzel Ward idea, I first saw getting some traction online a week or two ago. Maybe it was all while everybody was making the rounds at the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And he talked about how he and Garrett are sort of like a tandem and that kind of thing. And it piqued my interest. But, I mean, we're getting to a... like let's see. Rousseau and James Cook to the Browns, along with two firsts, and I don't know.
Especially if you're
just gets kind of crazy
from the Browns' perspective, they could probably get more. They will get more if they do them separately.
Sure.
So there wouldn't really. I would guess there really wouldn't be a motivation from the Browns to put them in some sort of package, unless the package was just absurd. They couldn't say no. But I think. Yeah, listen, I mean, we all agree. I said this yesterday. I think the most, probably the least talked about thing right now is their need for a cornerback too. Because a lot of the attention is going towards that because of the Super Bowl and how it played out. It's all D-line. And every single NFL team watched that Super Bowl and probably thought the same thing. But I left that game and I also felt like, wow, that defensive line was unbelievable. I was like, why is nobody talking about the fact that they've just locked these receivers down too?
Mm-hmm.
It was the perfect marriage between pass rush and coverage, and all of the highlights got put onto the pass rush.
Because a lot of what the Chiefs did to the Bills, especially early in that game, was the quick game.
Boom, out
and
so quick.
I would imagine the Chiefs would have recognized, okay, we're kind of getting our heads kicked in up front here.
Let's just do what we did last week, two weeks ago. Yeah.
And it couldn't.
Never materialized.
It couldn't function. So, yeah, that's where having the coverage ability comes in. And I'm glad the Bills at least look to be, from some of the offseason hires you mentioned yesterday, the guy they brought over from the Patriots,
yep,
man coverage, blitz guy, like they I think recognize they need to be more multiple on that side of the ball. Sorry to sound all coach speaky there, but they just need to be able to be capable of doing more things, have more things at their disposal in the toolbox. And so that's good, but yeah, you need secondary players to make that work, which circles you back to your edict about Kyer Elam.
I also,
a few minutes ago.
I don't want to do it twice a show, but no, for sure once a show.
Okay, we're done then.
The other part of this, and I haven't really heard a lot of people mention this or talk about it. Maybe part of it, I think maybe I was listening yesterday to maybe it was Zach, maybe it was last night. It brought this whole consciousness to me of, like, it is to me a little weird. I think about the last couple of first round picks, especially the last two. Well, Keon Coleman, not first round pick, but also Kincaid. And what was, like, sort of the prevailing comments after they were drafted? Josh was like, I want this guy. This is the guy I want. And, you know, I love Josh. Maybe he has a future in, you know, college and pro scouting. But I really kind of want my GM right now to say, hey, get who you're looking at. I know he'll like, part of it maybe is the interview process and you just like personalities and you fit. But, like, right now, I think there's a conversation that you have to say, like, I need the Ravens. They didn't need a safety when they took
Kyle Hamilton.
And he's completely changed their defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just every position he can play. Right? It's, to me, you know, the last couple of drafts have been you trade up for Kyer Elam because you know you need a corner. They traded up and got a corner, and he's not good. And I think that's the trouble you can get in when you're picking in the late 20s, early 30s every year. You're enamored about filling a need or a position. And I would really like this team to go back to the ideology of, I need to pick the best player that's here right now, because you don't know when Tre'Davious White's going to tear an Achilles. You don't know when Christian Benford's going to have two concussions in consecutive weeks and miss all but, you know, five plays of the AFC Championship game. And if you have a guy, it's almost the same. They did it at linebacker. They prepared themselves to lose Edmonds and immediately had Bernard step in. They had the next year, I remember sitting in here doing post-draft coverage saying, what the hell are you drafting another linebacker in Dorian Williams for? You've got so many. I've got lots of other. Guess what? You needed him immediately.
Right, like a year later, you've got A.J. Klein chasing Travis Kelce around in a playoff game.
You know, like I want less of, hey, we picked this guy because Josh
I Mike makes this point regularly as well, and I push back the same way, and I'll push back on you on it. To me, I don't know if I've said this exactly this way, but oh yeah, Josh loved him. Oh yeah, no, I love.
Of course he does.
To me, that's
what is Josh going to be? I actually didn't like that guy.
Imagine them saying the opposite, right?
Sure.
To me, it equates to, oh, actually, he was the best guy left on our board, which is what you say after every draft pick, almost no matter what, and we roll our eyes at it. Like, so, like, to me, I don't know. I've never really put a lot of stock in, like, Allen loved this idea, you know? I think it's right to run stuff past him. He is the franchise quarterback.
For sure. And you don't want to, you're not going to go against Allen's, like, I really don't, you're not going to be, I were taking him anyways.
Right.
But
Yeah. Like, I'd love to know if there's ever been a conversation on draft day. Like, did Brandon Bean call him and say, actually, we're thinking about staying at 30 and taking Xavier Legette? And Josh goes, no friggin' way.
Yeah, right.
Like,
right.
We're never going to hear about that. And I don't know that it's realistic. I think it's just draft platitude is what that totally is to me. So I don't put a lot of stock in it. Like, Josh is choosing the players or something. I don't know. I don't really buy it. I think McDermott's choosing everything, frankly. final say on everything. 803-0550 is the number. Nate Geary in for Mike Shope. We're talking about what defines all in and should the Bills be it this offseason as we head for the combine and eventually lots of draft conversation and ultimately the draft at the end of April. Free agency, of course, ahead of that in early March. 803-0550 is the number. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR. I have a new answer to the old, you've heard over the years, man, it's so cold. How cold is it? How cold is it? It's so cold, my garbage and recycling tote froze in the spots where I store them in the backyard. They were like the getting them out of there. I'm going to have to, when I roll them back into the spot tomorrow after the garbage and recycling gets picked up, sort of lift them and position them in the spots that they were occupying, because where the shell of what was holding them in place is still largely in place. Like, I was able to free them. It didn't take too much, but I've never experienced that before. They've been snowed in before. The tops of them are frozen shut occasionally during the winter.
Sure.
You know, just kind of bang the top of it and you can open it and use it. I go to pull them out of there and they're just like, you know, something's just not moving. Like, when you go to open your car or truck door and it's frozen shut, that those are my garbage totes this morning. That was pretty harsh. I could really use a thaw. We all could.
Dude, it's like, especially if you live in the city, there are streets that look like it snowed 2 hours ago.
Yes.
And
my side street is still one of them.
If you're familiar with, oh gosh, I can't remember the street. It's downtown, starts right next to the stadium, the baseball field. It's like behind the stadium and goes towards South Buffalo. Gosh, it's not Swan, but it's one of those streets.
Scott.
Scott, it's where the train station is, right? That's Scott Street,
I believe. That's Division, but anyway, all right.
Either semantics. Way. I drove down that street today to get home from the office before I came here. And it was like an inch thick of snow ice, which is probably worse than black ice or regular ice because it looks so innocent. It's just, it's just the white stuff. It's snow. Nope. Yeah. It is diabolical. I took a pretty nasty fall on Sunday. Like, I slipped, fell, hit the back of my head, hung out for, 50 minute 20, and some, girl that lives it, she's like, are you okay? I saw that whole, I'm like, just taking a couple of plays out. I'm all right. I'm not bleeding. I'm not injured. I just need to, I'm going to hang out here for a couple minutes. It's disgusting out. Like, and I keep telling people, it's like, it was last year, I was golfing. Like, I know this is the coldest winter. Our door guy at the office today was like, this reminds me of, like, and he's probably in his early 50s, was like, this reminds me of winters when I was a kid. Like, I just remember the winters right in the 60s and 70s being so terrible. And he's like, I don't remember it being this terrible for this long consistently. We need it.
Yeah.
Just like 40? I'll take 40 degrees.
Early next week, it looks like. I think, right? Oh, 37.
I'm not 40s, that
but
much.
Like high 30s. Like, so maybe we get started.
Not asking for a lot.
No.
I don't feel like I am.
Next week looks pretty good with like high 30s for most of the week.
Well, I mean, there'll be some melting.
It's better than 9.
some melting. All right, we'll take a break. Trevor Sikkema on the NFL draft, one of the lead PFF draft guys, or the lead PFF Pro Football Focus draft guys, will be our guest coming up after the break. So do stay tuned for that. We'll pour over the Bills' needs and hopefully uncover some intriguing ideas from him as we continue. Nate Geary's in for Mike. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.